Hello.
Hi, Kev.
Hi, I'm Mel. How are you?
I'm all by my lonesome right now. Doug's gonna be a little tardy.
That's cool. Where are you?
Well, I'm in my kitchen right now.
Okay.
Are
That
you
makes
at
sense.
the drugstore this time?
No, I'm at the gas station right now. I just pulled over for Reese's peanut butter cup and fill up the tank.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. How've you
Hey,
been?
how's your summer going along?
Well, it's going. It's about halfway through right now, and I'm back in New York. I was in Los Angeles for a little while and back and forth. Yeah, I'm home. I should be home for the rest of the month, I think.
Did you finish up working on Meatloaf's current record?
I did most of what I'm gonna do. I don't know if it's done. I don't know what they're doing right now. They were switching excuse me, they were switching back and forth between projects. They were doing 1 week they were doing Meatloaf, and next week they were doing Adam Lambert.
Adam Lambert from American Idol?
Yeah.
Ooh, were you playing on that?
No, I was not.
Oh, okay.
But I did meet him.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice kid.
He seems like he probably is
He
pretty
was a
nice.
very, very nice kid. Tall, too. See, I was surprised at how tall he was.
Well, that's because they always put Ryan up on a little box, so it
I
looks.
guess, yeah. And boy, he can sing, man, let me tell you.
Yeah, he's
I mean,
kind of.
if you like that kind of stuff, but
Yeah, it's a little old school, but a lot of people like him.
Oh, he's
Me,
some
anyway.
like kind of a cross between Freddie Mercury and Steve Perry.
Oh, see, now I might start liking him a little bit more now because
Well,
that's
there you go.
good. That sounds
Yeah,
good.
and again, he was a gentleman, which is always refreshing to see.
A good boy, huh?
Yeah, it seemed like it anyway.
Excellent, excellent. So, something new has gone up on the internet that has something to do with you today. Your pink suit, your zoot suit, or whatever you want to call it. What's
Well,
on
actually,
that?
the way that was explained to us was that everybody's got to go out and buy a pimp suit. So, Prairie and I went out and we found this this store in Chicago that sells to a particular clientele, and without getting too specific. And yeah, we found these I guess you would, for lack of a better term, you call them pimp suits. I guess you could call them zoot suits, but they're really kind of zoot suits were a little bit more. They weren't as garish as these suits were, and they were a little bit more staid and kind of chic. This is just like, the brightest yellows and the sharpest pinks and reds and blues and greens, and everything has to match: the pants, the shirt, and the tie. They all have to be the same exact color. So yeah, I didn't foresee myself wearing it anytime soon, and I thought it would make a great Halloween costume for somebody.
Oh, but you're hanging on to it. I think you had at least one other suit and the.
I had a red one, and I have a yellow one.
You still wear those in regular rotation,
I
though.
actually have the yellow one on right now
Okay.
at the gas station.
It goes well with the peanut butter cups,
Yeah.
So you guys have put it up on eBay. I'm assuming it said Chasm Store, so I guess Carrie's responsible for this, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I just said, she asked me if I had any stuff laying around that was kind of collecting dust, and I said, well, there happens to be one particular thing that I'd like to get out of my closet, and we just figured, as a laugh, we'd just put it up and see what happened, if anybody wanted it. And I don't know, it just went up today, so there's really no way to tell if how many people are going to be clamoring for my pink pimp suit from the Liars store.
Well, it'd be a great collectible for somebody. I mean, if they wanted to
Yeah,
have.
there's certainly enough pictures of me in it floating around, so it's not like it needs to be authenticated or anything like that. That was my suit, and somebody asked what size it was, and I think it's a 40 regular. It's either a 38 or a 40 regular, I'm not sure.
Okay, yeah, that was somebody had asked that in the TR connection today. So
yeah, I think the pants are like 30, 34, and the jacket is a 38.
Okay.
I think. It could be a 40, I don't know. But
okay.
There's not that much difference between a 38 and a 40 anyway.
All right.
Not when it comes to something like that where you have to wear it kind of baggy.
Right. Oh, I remember the suit very well. I think that's the one you wore in Dallas when you guys came through. But
yeah, like I said, I only had two or three. So, and I can't. I had a red one that this kind of like, you know, really not a dull red, but just a red suit. And I can't for the life of me find the pants to it. So can't really give the jacket away. You need the whole ensemble.
You left your pants somewhere, Ken?
Either I left them somewhere, or they wound up in a Goodwill bag at one point or another.
Okay. So, what else is the Chasm Store selling? Not necessarily on eBay, but just at the Chasm Store, you're selling the DVD from Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. As far as I know, I mean, you know, I don't visit the store very often, so I'm sure that there are T-shirts and. The T-shirts and CDs and DVDs and stuff like that, and I'm sure there's some little, you know, tchotchke things that you could pick up. I know we're going to be doing some like refrigerator magnets real soon, which is a really cool little magnet, a little square magnet, you know, that you hold like a picture up on your refrigerator, and that's with the artwork from the DVD cover on it. It's like a ceramic magnet.
Oh yeah,
which
yeah.
is really neat.
I know.
But, you know, I mean, it's just they're just all the regular stuff.
Right.
Nothing that anybody hasn't already seen, but maybe some people don't already have.
Right. Well, and I mentioned before you called in that all the apparel currently on the site is actually on sale,
mm-hmm.
because I'm hearing a rumor that you're going to bring out some new merch, starting with the A. Watts Akron stuff.
It's possible. Like I mentioned that little refrigerator magnet. I didn't want to get too crazy with new merchandise for the Wizard of True Star shows, because after all it is Todd's show, and you know, I don't want to put a bunch of stuff up and compete with Todd or anything like that. But at the same token, there'll be a couple of new things, maybe a new T-shirt, maybe some one or two things that people haven't seen before, but nothing really, you know, like nothing earth-shatteringly. Like I don't want to say that you gotta have, you know, nothing that you absolutely say, oh, I gotta have that. But I'm sure there'll be stuff there that people will say, oh, I gotta have that. And whether it's a refrigerator magnet, or a T-shirt, or a DVD, or a CD, that's up to you. Whatever you need, I'm sure that we can come up with.
That's right. So everybody, you gotta have, and you gotta have all of it. So
yeah.
Buy it all.
There you go.
I am.
Support your local
musician.
Apparently,
I'm channeling tonight. I've turned into the big pimp master tonight.
Okay.
Well, yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah.
Somebody has to do it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I want to ask you a question that was emailed in. I don't know. I'm sure you did hear that we were playing your song a little bit from
mm-hmm.
your solo album. This guy wrote in because I guess he wasn't going to be able to listen in live. So let me read his email. It says, "Dear Chasm, I'm Daniel from Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to tell us your recollections about the writing and recording process on these songs." And actually, the third song he mentioned was a little bit, but let's just go ahead and discuss that one first.
Mm-hmm.
Did that mean something to you, that song?
Yeah, I'm sure it did at the time. You know, it's really so difficult to say, well, I felt this, or I was thinking this, or I wrote this because, you know, what that song means to me might not be what it means to somebody else. And I think that foisting my opinion of the song, even though I might be the writer of the song, but telling what spurred me to write it, is kind of, in a way, it's a little selfish, because, you know, the reason that you, or at least for me, the reason I write songs and the reason I put them out there for everyone to enjoy is so that they can sort of put their own story to it. And maybe, you know, for instance, here's a perfect example is Set Me Free was never, it's not a love song. And, you know, I've explained this countless number of times that I wrote Set Me Free to get out of a record contract. And, you know, I finished it with the other guys in the band, and it was a pretty successful song. But it had nothing to do with a guy and a girl. You know, it had nothing to do, like you wouldn't think Set Me Free from a relationship, or you might think that.
Of course. I did for you.
Yeah, well, you know, and I've, and more often than not, I explain that song as that had nothing, that has nothing to do with a relationship. It's about me, you know, trying to get out of a contract with Albert Grossman from Bearsall Records.
Mm-hmm.
So I could do my first solo record. So the songs are, you know, are whatever they mean to you, and who am I? I'm just a conduit, you know. I'm just a creative force. I do what I do and then put it out there, and then it's up to everybody else to make what they want out of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Daniel also did ask, maybe not for the interpretation for the meaning of the song, but he was asking about the song from POV called Stand for Something.
Mm-hmm.
And he read somewhere that you actually, it was discussed that you were supposed to sing that one.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, I asked Todd when, I think that was a collaboration, like, you know, all those Utopia songs, especially around that time, were, they were equally written by the four of us. When it came time, like, somebody would come in with an idea, and we'd sit down and we'd kind of hash it out, and then people would make suggestions and, oh, how about we go there, and how about we do this, and what about this chord there, or something like that. And but somebody would come in with an initial idea, and then it would just get taken by the rest of the band and made into a complete song. That in that particular case, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that I had a chord change, and I brought it in, and then Todd kind of, you know, said, oh, okay, I know what we should do with this. And between Todd, Willie, and Roger, they finished the song that I had started. and then so when Todd put a melody on it and some lyrics, I was like, oh, man, that's really cool. I'd love to sing it. And I think that Todd felt that my voice wasn't particularly right for the melody that he had written, that it required a lot of screaming and yelling, and that that was more suited towards his voice than mine.
Ah.
So that's why I wound up not singing that song. But I do specifically remember asking to sing it.
Well, now, how did, I know it's on the record everywhere that you guys did come in, I think you once called them modules or something, little ideas for songs, and then y'all would put a song together. How did y'all ever decide who would get to sing that?
Well, most of the time it was pretty obvious. I mean, if you had more than just a little snippet of an idea, if you had a chord change, a melody, and a lyrical idea, then it was kind of like that was kind of your baby, you know. You would like, even though it would get finished by the rest of the band, it would remain your particular song until, you know, whatever, until it was done. So there were certain songs that were obvious Todd songs, obvious Roger songs, obvious Willie songs, and obvious Cassin songs.
Was there ever a time where, you know, half of you guys thought that maybe you should sing it and half thought that maybe Willie should sing it, and y'all had to, like, audition a song?
No, I think that for the most part we, you know, we were pretty easygoing about that stuff. If more than one or two people thought, you know, oh, this would be a great song for Willie to sing, then, you know, Willie would say, yeah, sure, I'll sing that one. You know, no big deal.
Okay.
I mean, we would, you know, everything was shared pretty equally in the band, so it wasn't like there wasn't a whole lot of, like, jockeying for position or anything. It was just like, let's just put our collective heads together and see what we come up with. It wasn't, nobody was trying to outdo another person. We were just all trying to work together to get the best product that we could, you know, the best songs together for a record that we could. I will say that there was one time where I begged to sing a song. And that
really?
Was,
Which one was
yeah,
that?
Yeah, Nene Gets Mad. I had went up to the studio one day, and Todd was working on it, and I said, you know, I've never asked you specifically if I could sing a song, or if you would, if you'd let me sing one of your songs. Since Todd wrote that song pretty much by himself, I said, but if I was ever going to ask you for a song to sing, this would be it. So, you know, if you can, or if it's okay, I'd really, really like to sing that one.
Mm-hmm.
And he let me.
I think, what was it? I Will Wait was one of those, wasn't it?
That was pretty much, that I didn't have to ask to sing that one. That was pretty much, you know, okay, Cass, I'm singing this one.
Okay, okay. Well, while we're talking about the old days with Utopia, Albino, that's a code name, a screen name, whatever, from the TR Connection asked a question today and wants to know the, apparently he grew up somewhere in northern Ohio, and he wants to know the story. What's the big connection to Tal's Beverages?
They just make a great pastrami sandwich.
Yeah?
They make the best pastrami sandwich I've ever had, better than the Carnegie Deli, better than Star Deli in Manhattan, better than Katz's. It's the premier pastrami, corned beef, you know, if you like that kind of thing, piled like, you know, about 4 or 5 inches high on two little pieces of rye bread with a little bit of hot mustard on it. There's nothing better. You know, I can't eat it all the time, but every so often I do. And if I could, you know, drive to Cleveland, Ohio, actually Parma, if I could drive to Parma and have a corned beef sandwich at Tal's once every couple of months, I would.
I see. Okay. And there's a lady named Carla that works there. Is that the Carla that's a good personal friend of you guys?
Yeah, Carla is a friend.
Okay.
Carla is a very good friend. But, okay. You know, I don't like to talk about that private stuff. That's private stuff.
I know. Yeah. Okay. Well, you put her on YouTube, for God's sake.
Well, that's different, you know. that's totally different. For some reason, I don't even know why that's different, but it's different.
Okay. All right, well, Carla, we're sorry. We'll keep you. We'll let you.
But I love Carla. I love her to death, and Carla and Al, and everybody at Tal's, the kids and stuff, and it's just a great place.
Right. Right. Okay. So where is Parma in relationship to Akron?
Parma, I believe, and I could be wrong, and I'm sure that I'll get, you know, flamed if I am wrong. I believe Parma is east of Cleveland. So as you're driving east out of Cleveland towards New York City, you will inevitably pass Parma. And from what I understand, it's kind of like, you know, little Polish-Italian enclave just outside of Cleveland. And, you know, it's just like a little suburb.
Well, you might want to warn the folks there at Tal's that there's a few hundred fans that are going to be possibly coming to try her sandwiches. So.
Well, I'm sure that Carla would love to have everyone there and just say that. Everybody should just say that Carla's brother sent them.
Carla's brother sent them.
Yeah,
okay.
Carla's brother sent them.
Okay. All right. Now we've moved into the Akron mode.
Uh-huh.
And first off, I want to talk to you about this solo show you're doing in Akron the afternoon of the world premiere of AWOTS.
Yeah.
Tell everybody about that in case they've had their heads under rocks.
Well, I started talking about this with Carrie, and you know, she said, "Well, why don't we do something special? Since there's going to be so many fans there, and they're all going to be, you know, big Todd Utopia fans, why don't we? Maybe you should consider doing a solo show." And I thought that, well, the rehearsal schedule that we have for the first show on Sunday is pretty intense. I mean, we're going pretty much every day from the 30th until September 6th. So there really wasn't a whole lot of time for me to do a proper solo show, like at the Beachland or Wilbert's or any place like that in Cleveland, because it would have required me having to, you know, like either leave rehearsal early or it's just a lot of energy. But I thought, you know, what might be nice is day of the show to do a short little show at the hotel for the diehard fans and the people who have come to see my solo shows and maybe some people who haven't. Not a full solo show, but like, you know, 45 minutes with an encore. Don't charge people a whole bunch of money because I know it's costing everyone a fortune to be in Akron. And so I just thought it would be really neat to do, like, you know, a short little show and make it, you know, affordable and just have a good time.
So it's just you all by yourself?
It is just me all by myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And everybody, if you want to buy tickets for that show, you have to go to chasmstore.com. So we're going to drop that name again. But tickets are only $10. I mean,
yeah, it's only it's a $10 ticket, and I guarantee you, you'll have some laughs.
And I was emailing back and forth with Carrie yesterday, or day before, I can't remember. Anyway, we're trying to get the hotel on board with, you know, cash bars and everything, and she said people are going to be hungover that day. Make sure there's coffee and juice. So. Carrie's got it going on. I'll tell you what, you got a good chick there taking.
Yeah, well, I think did we say 1 o'clock for the show?
Right, 1 o'clock in the afternoon on.
Yeah, Friday. So I mean, by 1 o'clock usually, I mean you could just roll out of bed and come down in your pajamas. I don't care, you know, whatever. It's just like bring a cup of coffee with you. It'll be fun. We'll have a good time.
Well, you know, there's potential. This is going to be in the ballroom. I mean, you could have several hundred people in there. And I was wondering, what is the largest crowd that you've ever played to for one of your solo? I know you've done some solo opening shows for, say, Meatloaf or whatever, but for a single solo show that was billed with just you or
just me,
Doug Kennedy or whatever, what's the largest crowd you've ever had?
It's not that many people. It really isn't. I mean, if you look at it, the largest place that I've ever played with a solo show all by myself, billed as that, would be one of the clubs that I've done over the years, whether it's the Bitter End or the Abbey Pub in Chicago or the Beachland Ballroom in Chicago. I mean, in Cleveland. They're really, I mean, maybe 150 people, 175 people tops.
Oh, we're gonna,
but
be
I've certainly played for a lot more than that, you know, whether it was opening for Meatloaf or on television or, you know, in a couple of other venues, but never as a strictly an evening with. And this is not an evening with, it's an afternoon with, so there you go.
And a lot of people will be saying, God, this is the crack of dawn with.
Well, maybe, you know, I mean, I think that pajama thing is a really good idea. I think that maybe we should, you know, kind of do it like, you know, the John Lennon, Yoko Ono, you know, breakfast in bed with John and Yoko.
Yeah.
Or, no, isn't that what they said at the Woodstock Festival? One of the mornings they said breakfast in bed for 400,000.
Well, we want to see if we can get breakfast in bed for close to 400. I think we should shoot for that. And
well, that would be wonderful. And like I say, I keep saying the same thing, but it's just really just a really good way to start off the day, you know, just listening to a little bit of my warblings for a little while and then, you know, go grab some lunch or something like that and get ready for what is probably one of the highlights of my career, which is the ability to be with Todd while he recreates one whole record from top to bottom.
Wow, you're good. You were just going where I was going.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's I wanted so desperately to do this, and I have to tell you that when we first started talking about this at the beginning of the year, or just after the beginning of the year, I had gotten calls from countless number of musicians that said, please consider me for this. I'll do anything to do this. And I'm not talking about just, you know, local guys from around here, or like people that are pretty famous, you know, giving me a call and saying, you got to get Todd. You got to call Todd and tell him I want to do this.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So
deal.
I guess you made it in the band. You're pretty stud, I suppose.
Well, you know, I'd like to think that that was a given.
Yeah. Oh, I think yes, you being in the band was a given, but.
But you never. I mean, you never know. You never know. Nothing. You know, no one is indispensable.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, you know, last week.
And I, but I'll tell you what, even if I wasn't in the band, even if I wasn't in the band, I'd still show up in Akron and do an hour set for everybody before
cool.
the show on Sunday.
Cool, very cool. Well, What do you think about being back on stage with Todd and Roger at the same time?
Well, you know, I mean, I spent so much of my early musical career with both of those guys. That it's like riding a bike. I mean, you know, I've had a couple of conversations with Roger over the past month about, you know, well, what's it going to be like? It's going to be, you know, it's going to be a little funny, a little weird, but, you know, it's just like riding a bike. You just, like I've been listening to the record because I have to make myself familiar with all the songs, and a good portion of it has been played before. by myself and Roger and Todd when we were doing the early Utopia tours. And we used to do stuff like Sometimes I Don't Know and International Feel and Sunset Boulevard, Just One Victory, of course, Zen Archer. We did Zen Archer on With a Twist. So it's not like we've never played a good portion of this record before. We have. It was just a long time ago. That's all.
Right.
So I can't wait to get back on stage with Roger. Roger is just one of my heroes, you know, and I've been blessed to have worked with him for the amount of time that I did, and I love him to death.
Yeah. Oh, I think he's gonna. It's really a lot of people are looking at this as. You know, the best it's ever going to get to being a Utopia reunion.
I think so. I don't know. It's really, it's not really a Utopia reunion, but it's as close. I think you're right. It's about as close as we're going to get.
Right.
For now, anyway.
Yeah. Okay, well, listen, I don't want to take up all the time here. We've got a caller that wants to ask a question. Are you ready, Kazem?
Okay, are you screening these calls? Because I don't want any negative calls. I cannot deal with negativity in my life at this point.
Okay, well, the best I can do is say, okay, everybody, no negativity.
Okay, I'm
okay,
kidding.
Now I've got an unknown caller, unfortunately, a private caller on the line. Are you
all
there?
Right.
Hello?
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 Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Hey, Kazem, how are you?
Who's this?
It's Adele.
Oh, hi, Adele. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? I didn't think I'd get through so quick.
Oh, well, you're the first caller.
What? Cool.
Yeah.
How have you been?
I've been good. And yourself?
Good. Busy,
good.
But good. I just wanted to thank you for when you were here last in Toronto. You were amazing. And you're really, really gracious. I really appreciated that. I had a lot of fun.
Well, you know what? I repeat myself over and over and over and over again, and I'm going to do it one more time, but... if it wasn't for you guys, you know, I wouldn't still be doing this. So you are part and parcel of why I continue to make music and try to always do better than the song I did before. And I appreciate you as much as you appreciate me.
Aw, you're welcome and thank you. That was really sweet.
How do you like that answer? That's pretty good, right?
That's a very good answer.
Yeah,
I didn't actually have a question. I was just going to call in and just say, hey.
Well, there you go. So you made me feel good, and hopefully I made you feel good.
I guess you do.
And how's the weather up there? Adele's in Canada, everybody.
Toronto.
Yeah, Adele is in Toronto right now.
It's the fifth day of rain.
The fifth day of rain.
Yep.
Well, that's
humid
about right, because it's been raining down here for about the past 4 or 5 days. So.
Yeah, it's pretty yucky, but.
Yeah. That's August for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just wanted to wish you luck. I'm not going to take up too much time.
Okay,
Adele, are you going to make it to any of the Watts shows?
I'm trying for Akron, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen. But I'm trying.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's always Connecticut and Bethesda and Chicago and Minneapolis.
I know, but it'd be nice if they come up here too.
Well, let's not push our luck. Let's get this first week under our belts, and then we could take it from there.
I know, I'm joking, but I'm hoping you do a solo show up here soon.
I hope so too.
It'd be great.
Yeah, believe me, I'm thinking about it.
I know, and I'm hoping, so we'll see.
Okay, Adele.
All right, hon. Well, you take care and be good.
All right, I'll see you soon, okay?
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, okay, Adele. Take care.
You too. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Well, I may as well tell you about another question that came in from the emails. Now, this came from Denmark.
Yeah.
This young lady, unfortunately, is sleeping right now, so we need to speak very quietly so we don't wake her up.
Okay.
And I cannot pronounce this name, but it's Sarah from Denmark.
Uh-huh.
And she wants to know if you have any solo shows planned for when you're in Europe.
When I'm in Europe? Oh, you mean in February of next year?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's a little far out. Usually, you wouldn't really start talking about doing gigs that far out. I mean, I guess the furthest would be about 6 months, and when August, September, October, November, December, January, February. February is 6 months away. So I guess I better get on it and try to book some solo shows in Europe. Yeah, I would love to. It depends on how many gigs we're doing with Todd. Right now there's only two, I believe, right?
Yeah.
There's only Amsterdam and London.
Right.
Is that true?
That's all I know about.
unless if there's more coming up, I'm sure we'll find out about that. But the danger is that if I start trying to book shows now, and then they wind up putting shows in before or after the two shows that they already have, it could conflict with what I want to do, and then it just becomes a whole mishigosh.
Mishigosh, okay.
Yeah, mishigosh. You know that term? Is that a term?
No, it sounds like something Jesse would say.
That's really that's a kind of a New York term, mishigosh. It means like a whole big cluster F, you know?
Got it, okay.
Yeah.
Well, then you know that there's at least one person over there that is interested, so.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm glad that Sarah mentioned that because it's something I really should look into.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're being joined by... Let's see, area code 205. I don't know if we'll be able to understand this accent, but hello, 205, are you there?
Yes.
Who's this?
I have something negative to say.
I want this guy to know that if it wasn't for my help, he wouldn't be in this position right now.
My only negative thing I have to say is September is not moving here fast enough.
September isn't coming fast enough for you?
That's my only negative comment. Yeah.
But you know, time is a totally man-made thing. It's there is actually no such thing as time. It's absolutely man-made. So you just have to just stay in the now. Because all you have
now.
To worry about is about right this second. You know, the future will take care of itself, and the past you can't do anything about.
The future is now.
But exactly.
Okay, everybody, in case you don't know, this is our beloved Rundgren Radio, Doug, on the line.
Oh, I like that. Hey, speaking of that song, that's from Liars. Have y'all talked about Liars at all in Chasm's attire?
And my what?
Your attire.
My attire. Yeah, we spoke about that. That was one of the first things we talked about.
Excellent. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're already talking about making my solo show on the day of on September 6th, a pajama party, the morning pajama party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the Liars outfit being auctioned, though. Y'all got into that, right?
Yeah. Hey, Doug, are you talking through like a towel or something? You're really muffled.
I'm kind of on my cell phone.
Yeah, there you go.
So, Chasm, did you know that Bobby Strickland was added to the lineup?
I found out from a friend. Yeah, I found out from a very close friend that Bobby had been asked to come in and play, and I know Bobby, and I'm thrilled, tickled pink that he's going to be there.
So you found out from a friend. That means you haven't talked to Todd much about this whole deal?
I haven't spoken to Todd since, when was the last date we played? The 4th of July?
Really?
Yeah, that was the last time I spoke to him.
You mean he hasn't said, okay, Chasm, I want to do this song, this style, or anything?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, but it's been all through email.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you don't know the first set list, then?
Do I know the set list?
You don't know the first part yet, I guess.
The first, no, I do not.
I don't know. Todd knows.
Why, do you?
No, I don't.
No, I have no idea.
I don't
want to
know.
You don't want to know?
No, I don't want to be spoiled. I want to be surprised.
Oh, okay. Well, that'll make two of us because I have no idea what's going on.
Hope it's something you played before, right?
I don't even know if it involves me. It might not. I'm serious.
It might not.
Be,
you never know.
You know, for all I know, it could be like, you know, what do I? I mean, they could be like, you know, hula dances on stage for the first 45 minutes.
Well, you know, you're right. It could be.
Yeah, I mean, it could be any one of a number of things. I wouldn't put anything past Todd, though.
Yeah. Okay, so when you were helping me get this thing going here, we discussed it, and you said that you thought it would take you a good 2 weeks to learn the material. Is that the case?
Well, you know, and I've had this discussion with Prairie and Roger and Jesse and a little bit with Todd when we were out on the road, but I think everybody's going to be doing a lot of homework before the week of rehearsals. So that when we do get into rehearsals in Cleveland, we will everybody will be prepared. Everybody will know their parts. It's just a question of putting the seven of us together. Is that seven? Is it seven or six?
I think it's
seven. It's seven, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a question of each person, you know, doing what they think is their part, and then being yelled at by Todd because that's not the part, and then being made to feel like a total ass, and then finding out what the real part is and playing it like he wants it to be played, and then you know you just move on.
Any of you guys play the accordion?
Greg Hawks probably plays the accordion.
Yeah.
If anybody would play accordion, it would be either Greg or Roger. I'm sure Roger.
Roger was trying to learn a little bit about that, I think.
Have you spoken to Roger?
Yeah, a little bit. Well, we had him on a while back with Greg, and he was learning the accordion a little bit.
Oh, well, there you go. Then why are you asking me? Were you trying to bait me?
I'm trying.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
He is. Yeah, I hate that about him. You better watch, man. I'm going to tell your wife on you.
Don't get me in trouble.
You off.
Come on.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Don't get me in trouble, man. Come on. Let's talk about, speaking of, my wife and I went to Nashville. Let's talk about that a little bit, because that was an interesting deal that you did over there, and I'm sure people would love to know how you got connected with that deal.
Well, you know, I'm doing another one, actually.
In Nashville?
Yeah, on the 29th
really?
Of August.
No way.
Oh, no one told us about that.
Well, it hasn't been announced yet. Oh. I'm announcing it right now. You got the scoop from me. This is the
All right,
first,
here we go.
This is the first time anybody's hearing of it. Yeah, I'm doing another Songwriter Circle at the Bluebird Cafe. On August 29th in Nashville, same myself and Tommy Hambridge. I don't know who the other two song writers are, but yeah, Tommy called me about 2 weeks ago and asked me if I wanted to do it, and I said absolutely. The only thing is that requires me to go from New York to Nashville to Akron or to Cleveland in 2 days, but I don't mind because I had such a good time doing that. With Tommy and those other guys, that it was, I wasn't about to say no.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So, what's your relationship with Tommy?
Well, Tommy and I go back. We met through a guy by the name of Mark Rivera, who plays saxophone with Billy Joel. And Mark, and the funny thing is that Mark's father and my father worked together for 30 years at RCA Telecommunications. Mark's father was like kind of a supervisor. And my dad was a teletype repairman. This is before fax machines, before computers, before anything other than the only way that businesses communicated with each other was through teletype. And my dad fixed those machines in the different office buildings in New York. And Mark's father was the kind of like, you know, kind of like a dispatcher or a supervisor that would send the guys out on their the daily worksheet, whatever, you know, like you got to go to IBM, okay, you got to go to AT&T, okay, you got to go to General Electric. And when I got the job with Todd in 1976, my dad went in to work one day and said, yeah, well, you know, my son, because Mr. Rivera's, Mark Rivera's dad, you know, he was proud of his son because his son played saxophone, and my dad was proud of me because I played guitar. And so my dad comes in one day and says, oh, you know, my son just got the job with Todd Rundgren. And Mr. Rivera said, oh, yeah, well, my son just got the job with Foreigner. And he's playing saxophone for Foreigner. Oh, yeah, well, my son's playing bass guitar for Todd Rundgren. So they were kind of like, you know, puffing each other's chests up a little bit, talking about their sons. And it was just funny because Mark and I then became friends after that, not knowing that our fathers knew each other.
Mm-hmm.
You love that story, don't you?
I do. That's what the whole thing was about, was telling stories. That guy, your buddy, had that hilarious song about the upside of lonely.
Yeah, he wrote some great stuff. But, yeah, so that's how I met Tommy Hambridge, was through Mark Rivera. And then Tommy and I just hit it off and became good friends, wrote a couple of songs together. And now Tommy's a big record producer, songwriter, big record executive in Nashville. And I'm schlubbing it out in New York City.
Well, you got caught off guard at that show a little bit with how many songs. So what are you going to do different this time? You got another new plan?
You know what? I'm not thinking about it right now. Right now, all I'm thinking about is the material that I have to learn for the Wizard show. So once I get that under my belt, then I'm free to do other stuff.
So how are you going about doing that? Are you just listening to the album or the CD or whatever and playing along?
Like I said, you know, I know most of the material. I mean, I've listened to that album since I was a kid. You know, it came out in 1973, I think. And when it came out, there was a radio station in New York City, WNEW. It was one of the most famous radio stations on the East Coast, all the way up until the Midwest. And it was one of the first FM stations around that played kind of a diversified list of artists that you wouldn't hear in other places. It was when AM radio started to go down in listenership, and FM radio was like the new thing. Everybody listened to, you know, everybody was like talking about FM radio and listening to FM radio. There was a guy by the name of Scott Muni who was a pretty famous disc jockey, Allison Steele, the Nightbird. I mean, there was a ton of people that everybody listened to on a daily basis, and they used to do this thing they call concert happenings. And the music that they had for concert happenings was Tick, Tick, It Wears Off. So whenever they played, okay, these are the concerts that are coming up, the bed music for that, the music that they played in the background was Tick, Tick, It Wears Off. Tick, 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 It Wears Off.
That's cool.
Yeah, so I've heard these songs and know this music for ages and ages.
Excellent. Love Tick, Tick, Tick. That's what I'm going to be curious to, what you guys are going to do when you're, of course, you'll be playing an instrument, but some of those songs, you know, you guys may not have anything going on, and you're going to have to be standing.
Well, there's only a couple of those. No,
yeah,
there's only a couple. Not too many. There was about three, actually. I mean, besides the dogfight giggle, there's. I'm looking at the list right now, and the only ones that I wouldn't play on would be "Hungry for Love," maybe. I don't know. I don't want to tie you down. Do I play on that? I don't even know.
Sure.
You need your head. Da, 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 da. Never Neverland. But there's some stuff in there, you know. I mean, there's some stuff that I could probably do. I'll shake a tambourine or wear a dress or something like that. I don't know. I'll do something.
Yeah,
right.
You guys got to do some performances. Yeah.
Excuse me?
You're going to have to do some kind of performances that...
Well, from what I understand, this is going to be like a whole big production. I don't have any details, but Todd just says, oh, there's going to be costume changes and there's going to be mirror balls and, you know, there's going to be a whole bunch of stuff.
How are you going to feel if you get backstage and you see Nikki Nichols back there with some kind of crazy utopian outfit from the old days or something.
I've already spoken to Nikki about it, actually.
Have you?
Nikki's good as long as you say, okay, Nikki, I won't wear that. Because he had me dressed in cheesecloth and boxer shorts for a midnight special performance once. And I said, no. I will not wear just boxer shorts and cheesecloth draped around my chest.
Like a sort of like the toga kind of thing?
Yeah, but it was like cheesecloth, and it was like he wrapped me in cheesecloth, like a thin layer of cheesecloth, and then stapled it together. And then, you know, like, and then I had, like, he had these silk boxing trunks for me to wear. And he said, "Dog, you look wonderful in this." and I said, "No, I don't think so." So I wore the boxer shorts over a pair of pants.
Nikki, he's crazy. He's got to get involved somehow, man. It's his time period, you know?
Yeah.
All right, well, you got a caller, but let me ask you one more question, and we'll try to mute since I think my phone probably doesn't sound all that good. I'm on cell phone here. But, all right, so I want to go back to Bluebird just for one more question.
Sure.
We're over there, and all of a sudden, the lead singer for Chicago, Jason, gets up there and does a song. He just happened to show up.
Yeah.
And being the schmoozer that I am and the schmoozer that you are, I'm, you know, watching you in action. So I would like to know what you said to him after the show was over, because I saw y'all talking a little bit. How did that conversation go?
First of all, it turns out that his dad used to play bass with Elvis Presley.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
And his dad was a pretty famous musician in the Nashville area. I don't know how long his father played bass for Elvis. Probably a long time, because I don't think Elvis switched musicians that much. But I just said it was a pleasure to meet him, and he, you know, knew me and knew of my work, and we decided that we would eventually sit down and try to write a song together.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you done it?
Or not.
Not yet. He's been out on the road for a good part of June and July.
Yeah, because I'm staying focused on AWOTS.
I'm pretty much focused on what I need to do right now, yeah.
There you go. Okay. So somebody was asking in the chat room about your set list for the solo show. You got that determined yet, or are we just going to be...
No, I don't. All I know is that there will be some new songs.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, we have Summer's Gone all loaded up, but I'm not sure how long you're going to stick around, so I'm going to keep you talking for a while. We can play music after you're gone.
Okay. Sure.
Well, we got
to
call
a little bit about Summer's Gone, what was going on. You wrote that definitely before summer or long after last summer.
You know, I actually did not write that song.
Oh.
I did not write that. That was that's a Phil Thornalley song.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And Phil just, you know, he liked the song, and I guess he didn't have anybody to sing a lead vocal on it, and thought that my voice would fit it, and sent me the track and said, if you would be so kind as to put a lead vocal on it. I did, and it turned out that I kind of liked the way it sounded, so I took it as my own.
It's very sad.
Yeah, it is sad, but then again, that's what you get out of it. I don't know. Maybe some people will think, and maybe it's not said. I don't know.
Right, right. Well, we're definitely going to play that later on in the show.
Good.
Doug, do you want me to mute you, or do you want to just be quiet and talk when you want to, or what?
Just mute myself.
He's what?
I will mute myself. I'm going to lay low because I'm worried about my cell phone. Plus, you got a caller, so you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to chill out.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, I'll leave it the way it is.
Hey, Doug, let me ask you this. I'd like to ask Doug a question. How much hair have you lost since May?
I haven't lost hair, but I've got several more grays.
Really?
You won't recognize me. Yeah, you won't recognize me.
Now you know what it's like to be in the music business.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get some Brill cream or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I've lost a couple of hairs myself, actually.
Nah.
Luckily, I can afford it, I guess.
But it is definitely an interesting experience, I will say that.
Yeah. That's a bag of worms I would not want to open.
Well, here's the best part about it. Despite all kind of craziness that goes on with it, it appears, based on commentary and interviews and other things that I've heard, that Todd appears to be very excited about this and very interested in doing some different type things, like the outfits and different stuff that I think people are going to be very, very pleased with this show.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I think it's going to be great. I mean, there's no question about it. The amount of how can I put this? The amount of professionalism that is going to be put into this one show or these few shows are it's certainly. And I told Mel at the beginning of this, at the beginning of the interview, that I was willing to jump through hoops to do this, and I think everybody just wants it to be as good as it possibly can be, and it's certainly going to be a once-in-a-lifetime thing, especially the first show.
Yeah, and there's only going to be about seven. That's what it looks like now. And Michelle told us a while back that pretty much every musician that ever has played with Todd and hasn't played with Todd contacted her about getting in on this band. And it's a great band. It's an all-star band. But, you know, Todd's used terms like theatrical, talked about how it's going to be somehow he's going to make it a lot like that time period. I mean, it's going to be something that's going to be very unique, I think, and surprise a lot of people. And they'll know the set list that first night. That's kind of exciting, too. So I'm just – everything's going to be worth it. It's going to be a blast. And we're going to have a great party, too, on Saturday night. We want you to come, too. We got cake and all that good stuff. It's gonna be
fun. I'm going to come. I'm sure everybody's going to be there. I just don't want anybody staying up till like, you know, 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning because they're going to miss my show the next day.
No, we'll be rolling in there about 12:55. It's all good.
I think what we need to do is, and Doug and I now, we have the power over that hotel. Trust me, we have filled that hotel with nothing but fans.
By the way, I'm sorry to cut you off, Mel. I have a specific request for you, Doug.
Yes?
When you blocked the rooms, you didn't reserve enough king beds. I need a king bed.
Hey, you don't think Mary Lou's all over me about that already? That's project number one.
She said to me today, she said, Kasim, would it be okay if you had two queen beds in your room? I said, what? Are you serious? No, that's it. I'm not even coming. Don't even bother me. I'm not coming.
What's wrong with you egotistical musician? What's wrong with two beds?
I said, you get on the phone right now and you call that Doug Ford up and you tell him it's his responsibility to get me a king-size bed.
Yeah. He's all over it already, trust me.
Basically, I just wanted to give you a little bit more of a headache than you already had.
We'll take care of it. You know we're going to take care of that. No problem.
Don't worry about it. You give me a cot, I'm just happy to be there.
Don't be surprised.
I'll
if you
sleep
walk
in the parking lot.
Yeah, don't
I think
be surprised.
What we need to do, Doug, let's put this on the to-do list for tomorrow. Call the hotel, and the morning of the 6th, about, let's be nice, 11:30, we need to have the computer call everybody's room and give them a wake-up call and tell them they have to be present at the Chasm show.
Yeah, we can do that. We can have like an announcement.
We have the whole freaking hotel. I'll just start knocking on doors.
Yeah, exactly. Well, don't be surprised either at that hotel when you come around for the party stuff, when you're if you go to the restaurant or bars, we're going to be they gave us the opportunity to play any videos and DVDs we want throughout the weekend. So you'll see yourself up there from Atlanta probably on occasion, maybe even some, you know, crazy Utopia videos and stuff.
Oh, I can't wait. You had some funny ones at the last party.
We'll definitely be playing the Price Sultan video. Absolutely.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We don't need no television.
I'm going to start charging you an embarrassment fee.
Hey. I hope you're talking to Doug and not me.
I am, Mel. I'm talking to Doug.
I have nothing to do.
Wait, I didn't have the video. You don't have to blame Jody for that. Jody and Mitch's.
Oh, okay.
Video, they take full blame and credit. I just, you know.
Yeah, well, the girls watched it about 10 times that weekend, though.
Oh, yeah, at least. Hey, OC Sherry, as a matter of fact, you got to ask her. You'll see her down there in Akron. She saw your buddy Price somewhere in California About a week ago.
Yeah,
right
she
now.
Told me. She sent me an email and said that she had spoken to him at a Joan Jett show and that she had asked him to sign her Price Sultan CD album, and he was very gracious. And Tommy, you know, Tommy's a great guy. He's a really great guy. He's a new father, has a new baby, and so that tends to calm people down a lot.
Yeah, I saw the photo. I didn't recognize him at first based on the video. You know, the hair was quite different.
Yeah, well, you know, he's got a lot less hair and a lot more tattoos.
Yeah, and some grays. And what is the hair do y'all call it? You said it wasn't a mullet. It was what's the term?
A shag.
A shag.
Shag. Yeah, okay. That's total shag. It was a shag.
Oh man.
Awesome.
It was almost a mullet.
They called it when a girl had that haircut is a shag.
Right, right. Well, you know, I'm always very in touch with my feminine side.
You're very metro.
that's gonna. Yeah, this weekend's gonna be too much. I can tell already.
Yeah.
We're all doomed.
Yeah, and it's gonna. You know, I'm telling you, it's coming like a train. I mean, we're on the station. We're at the station. I can see the train right down the tracks. It's coming. So before you know it, it'll be here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you guys heard. You heard Chasm demanding a king room. So I'm not even going to let you know what I was on the rider.
No, but you know what? I put the codicil on that I would sleep in the parking lot if I had to.
Well, was it? You were the one who wanted the M&Ms with all the green ones removed. Was that your request on the rider?
No, every other green one removed.
Every other green one removed. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And I have my assistant checking. So don't try to screw me on that.
Hey, you know Kathy Lee B in Chicago, right?
Who?
Kathy Lee B.
Kathy Ruby?
Kathy Lee B.
Kathy Lee B. Probably if I saw her.
Yeah, just I'm going to give you that for I'm going to make her mad. She has one of the only four smoking rooms in the hotel.
Okay. All right.
So do I.
Yeah. Oh, Cruiser Man, I was trying to help you out.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, now the secret's out. So there's two of four. For all you smokers out there, Cruiser Mel, Kathy Lee B, they got them. So.
All right, good. Well, now I'm
trouble now on that deal.
Hope they love the smell when they walk in there. That's usually a horror.
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah. All
well,
right, Cruiser Mel,
we've got a caller.
Yeah.
We've got a caller. We probably they've been on hold for quite a while.
All right.
Let's hear it.
So let's pick up area code 248. You are on with Chasm. Who's this? Hello.
Hello.
248.
I hear something. They probably put the phone down, thinking that we were just chatting away and they weren't going
to
get on.
No, they have to
try
mute their computer. Got to mute your computer, caller. Because it's delayed.
Oh, yeah, I can hear it.
Hear it? Yeah. See where I am. Got to mute that computer if you're going to call in. Oh, they disappeared. They were scared.
They disappeared. Well, listen, guys, if you guys want to talk to Chasm, you got to call 646-716-9262, and then you got to hit the 1.
Yep. Hey.
Gives us a signal. Yeah, what?
Chasm, did y'all talk about the Maryland gig already? Am I behind
no.
the times?
Okay, no, I
want to know. Listen, man, people were giving me hell. I said, Chasm's going to be playing with a full band. They go, he does that with Jesse and Doug. I said, no, he's playing with a full band. So,
are you talking about the Razorstown gig on October 30th? I made a promise to myself that I wasn't going to mention anything about that until I had everything in place. So I'm going to stick to that promise, and I'm not going to say anything about it until I have everything in place, and then I'll make an announcement as to exactly what that gig is going to entail.
But you are doing it, so that's for sure.
I am doing it. As long as the only thing that would stop me from doing it is if it conflicts with the Todd schedule. And right now I'm waiting to hear about that because there's talk about some shows at the end of October, but I don't know what's going on.
What kind of shows?
I don't know what kind of shows. I don't think it's Wizard shows. Matter of fact, I know it's not Wizard shows.
Okay. Yeah. You guys heard that first here.
Why do you think the Wizard shows are going to be cut down? What's your theory on why they may only do about 7 of them in the United States?
I think doing more than that takes the specialty away from it, you know? I think that that it's not something that you want to just flog to death, you know? It's not something that you want to take a year out of your life and you know, bring it all around the country. It's like, it's a real special thing, and the people that do get to see it, you know, are probably going to remember it for a very, very long time. So I don't know how smart it would be for Todd to, like, you know. And first of all, the other thing too is that it's a particularly big show, so that limits the amount of places that Todd can put it. You know, I mean, you can't go into a place like where were we in that you were at? I don't know, one of the smaller stages that we played wouldn't be able to fit seven people on it. You know,
yeah.
Like in Chattanooga, was it Chattanooga that we played a small place in Chattanooga?
Yeah. Yeah, Ram, and of course the Rams head.
And the Rams head was
small.
Yeah. So you wouldn't necessarily be able to do a show like that in in a lot of venues that that would have Todd, you know, on a regular basis.
So let's have a little fun here, hypothetical. I know there's absolutely zero chance this happening, but let's say we were talking about doing a Utopia show, album show. Which one would you want?
Utopia album show?
Yeah.
Which one would I? Well, you got to remember that Utopia albums were, like, they were probably, you'd probably have to do two.
Yeah.
In order to get a full show out of it? Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, Raw, how long was Raw? It couldn't have been more than 50 minutes.
Well, AWOTS is 55. Yeah.
I'm sorry?
AWOTS is 55. That's why you got another set.
53.
53? Is
that
right? Yeah, 53. Look at him. He's studying. I like
that. And, yeah, that's why I have no idea what Todd's planning on for, you know, the rest of the show, but I'm sure that it will become apparent, you know, at the last minute.
So what? You hadn't answered, though. What albums would you want to do? Utopia albums, if you had to do one or two.
I'm sorry?
What Utopia album would you want to do, or albums, if you had to do a show?
Probably the best ones to do would be Adventures and maybe Oblivion? Or no, the Network record. That was a great record.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be pretty fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so you're going to help me and Mel get Utopia Reunion for Rung Radio Birthday 3?
I've done my best on that. It's up to the Utopian gods right now. It's out of my hands.
All right. Well, we'll come up with something.
Yeah, I'm sure we will.
You know, have you not figured out that Doug's always thinking?
Oh, yeah. Mm. I know that. I know that. We were talking about the Wizard show, you know, a year ago.
I know.
The Rendezvous.
In the what?
At the Rendezvous, really?
Yeah.
Well, okay, we've got another caller, Doug.
Hey.
I'm going to start bad-mouthing you, Doug, if we continue down this road.
Don't. All right, I'm quiet.
Let's take a caller. We've got area code 304. Ooh. You're on the line. Who's this?
Hi, Chasm.
Is this Mary?
Yeah, this is Mary in West Virginia.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
I'm fine. How you doing?
I'm good.
Hi, Mel. Hi, Doug. I don't know if they can hear me or not.
Oh, yeah. How you doing?
I'm fine.
Good.
I'm anxious for Akron. I can't wait. I need a vacation.
Well, it's coming up.
Yeah, I know. It's coming up. It's coming up quick, but not soon enough. It needs to be this weekend. That's it.
Yeah, I hear you.
Well, I was going to ask you some questions, but Doug already asked them all.
Yeah, well, you know, he's good like that.
I'm sorry, Mary.
you read everybody's minds, and you know what they want to say. So, but the one burning question that seems to be is, do you still have the wetsuit from that Price Salton video?
No, they wouldn't
want
to
keep that. It'll be on eBay tomorrow.
Yeah, they wanted to put it on eBay.
They would not let me keep that.
Well, bummer.
Yeah, I know. And I had a hell of a time getting into that stupid thing, too.
Well, you did it right there on the camera. It looked pretty easy.
No, it definitely wasn't. It was a pain in the behind.
Do you ever do that and just for fun and entertainment, go play in the ocean like that?
Go where? Play in the ocean in a wetsuit?
Yeah.
Listen, my idea of fun is driving 5 miles a day. That's what I do for fun.
Well, you get to do that every day.
What do you mean?
You get to drive all the time, all over the country.
Yeah, I know. That's why. That's what I do.
Well, the other question I had is, what's happening with this new album we've heard about? Is that ever going to happen?
My new album?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely going to happen.
When?
Soon. As soon as I get a breather. You know, I mean, I just finished working on this Meatloaf record, and now I'm going into this pod tour. So I only have, you know, a limited amount of time to myself, and I do need to just you know, stop and do nothing for a couple of days. So by the time I get those couple of days under my belt and then start working on the next project, here I am at the end of August already. I mean, it will be, and then it'll be time to start the Wizard rehearsal.
Yeah. Is Meatloaf going to tour next year, or do you know that yet?
I do not know that.
Okay, because everybody's kind of looking forward to that, too, and I'm just wondering if they're going to bump into each other, the Todd tour and the Meatloaf tour.
No way to know right now. It's a little too far. I was like I was telling Doug before. I'm just worried about right now. I'm not even worried about it. I'm just trying to just concentrate on right this second.
Well, I understand that. Well, I just wanted to say hello, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in Akron.
Well, I will see you in about 3 short weeks.
Oh, geez, is it that fast? Wow.
No, please don't tell me it's that soon, please.
Four weeks, actually. It's 4 weeks.
Oh, I got to get my car worked on before then, or I'm not going to make it.
Well, you got a head start.
Yeah, well, hopefully it won't take them that long to fix it.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to seeing you, Mary.
All right. Bye, Chasm.
Bye-bye, honey.
Thanks for calling in, Mary.
All right. Nice talking to you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, guys, we got another call. We're going to try this one again. It's 248. Let's see. Now you're on the air. 248, are you there?
Hello.
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 Hi, Chasm.
Hi. Who's this?
Hi. This is Ellen.
Oh, hi, Ellen. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Good. I'm just calling. I'm listening to your show.
Okay.
And you've got your new music in the works. And friends and I are wondering if you are planning on coming to the Ann Arbor area sometime next year.
Yeah. You know, I played Ann Arbor a couple of years ago. The Point, was it? Where is that place in Ann Arbor?
Oh, gosh.
I think it's called the Point. I could be wrong.
I think you're wrong.
Anyway, there's a club in Ann Arbor that I played, and I would love to go there too. And there's also the Cherry Blossom Festival in Traverse City.
Yes.
Or the Cherry Festival.
Cherry Festival.
Yeah, the Cherry Festival, where they make everything out of the cherry mustard, cherry jelly, cherry wine, cherry tea, cherry, you name it, they make cherries out of cherry meatloaf, cherry hamburgers, who knows?
So,
cherry french fries.
So
isn't there a Pepto Bismol commercial about everything cherry right now?
I don't know.
Oh,
but yes, I do have to come to Michigan, and I'm actually looking, I'm talking to some people in Grand Rapids about doing a show up there.
Okay.
So there you go.
Okay. Well, we'll look forward to seeing you here soon in Akron.
Okay. I look forward to seeing you too, sweetie.
Okay, honey. Have a good night.
You too. Bye.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, Ellen.
Okay, honey.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks for calling in. All right. We've got a few more callers on hold, and I don't know if they've just called in to listen or if they want to speak. But if they want to speak, they need to press 1 or mention it in the chat room. Otherwise, I'm not going to click on you.
Okay.
No one's saying anything. Okay, well.
All right, well.
We'll just.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Hey, we started something new here at the show since the last time you were on.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to find my switchboard here because it's so funny. It's called Chat Pack.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there's some interesting questions in here. And, Doug, where is it? Here it is. Okay. Hold on, because we're going to do a question or two from Chat Pack, and then we're going to go back to the callers. So hang on and listen to this sound clip real quickly.
Okay.
Getting to know you. Getting to know all about you.
Okay, here's the question, Kazem.
Mm-hmm.
If a local radio station offered to let you have your own 30-minute show each weekday morning, what type of show would you have?
Talk radio.
Talking about what?
Topic of the day. Topics of the day, current events, possibly somewhat political, but not necessarily. An extremely topical show. And 30 minutes is nothing. It would have to be 60. I would demand 60 minutes.
Okay. Like you would be talking about the Michael Jackson controversy and all that.
I would be talking about the fact that someone told me that his body, someone from the L.A. coroner's office told me that his body was there 6 days before they announced the death, yes.
Wow. You're in touch. I didn't even hear that one.
Yeah, nobody did. I don't know if I believe it, but somebody told me that.
Wow, okay. All right, well, there you go. That's a good answer.
Yeah.
All right, we've got a caller from the 512 area code. You're on the air.
Hey, Mel, it's Pip.
Hi, Pippi.
How you doing?
Is this Chris?
No, it's not Chris.
It's Pip.
I'm undercover.
Oh, well, get out from under the covers.
Come out of the closet. Hey, Cass, I want to ask you if you know that Terry Vanilla is writing a book.
You know, I saw Cherry in Los Angeles about a year and a half ago, and I had lunch with her. And she mentioned that she was going to start writing a book, but she hadn't started it yet. But she said, you know, she said, I have all these great stories, and I've been to so many places, and I know all these wonderful, fabulous people. I really feel that I could write a really, really good book. And I said, Cherry, If anybody could write a really entertaining, good book, it's you. You know, it's like I was in Barnes and Nobles not too long ago, or was it Borders? One of those stupid stores, and I picked up the Joey Kramer biography. And for anybody who doesn't know, Joey Kramer is the drummer from Aerosmith. And you know, and I looked at it, and it's like now. I've met Joey a couple of times, and he's a very, very nice guy, but I would not spend $20 on a Joey Kramer autobiography. You know, I just don't care enough, because what's he going to talk about? He's only going to talk about himself. That's all he's going to talk about for a couple of 300 pages.
Who's that really annoying guy, the Lake Wobegon dude? People eat his stuff up.
Oh, Garrison Keillor?
Garrison Keillor.
Oh, no, he's great.
Okay.
Have you ever read any of his books?
I've listened to his show on Saturdays.
Well, Prairie Home Companion is one thing, but his books, he writes some hilarious books.
Okay, I'm going to go to Barnes and Borders right now and get one. But
check out Radio Days by Garrison Keillor.
Okay, but that didn't strike fear into your heart when Cherry Vanilla said she was going to write a book?
No, absolutely not. She's Cherry, you know, I thank Cherry for, introducing me to people like Mick Ronson and Michael Kamen and Tony Zanetta and Lee Childers and, you know, all the people, the Patti Smith, Debbie Harry, the punk movement and the glam rock movement in New York City in the early 70s.
I want to read her book. I think it's going to be great. I just wondered if you knew and if she's going to have to show it to you before. Is she going to have to show it to everybody before she, you know?
No, I only really played with Cherry for about a year and a half, 2 years, before I started playing with Todd. So I represented a brief moment in time for her. So if there's even one sentence with my name in it in that book, I'd be surprised.
Well, that was my question, so carry on, kids.
Oh. Well, I hope we answered it for you, Pip.
You did. I'm going to go out and buy Garrison Keillor's entire Ovier right now.
No. Check with me first and make sure, because there's a couple of them that are duff, but most of them are really good.
Okay.
All right.
Good night,
you, babe.
Bye.
Bye.
Good night, Pippi.
Night.
You know Pippi's going to be in Akron with those lights in her hair. You just know it.
Oh, of course. And I think she just has so much energy, and she's just such a force to be reckoned with. She's the best.
Uh-huh. She is. She is. And those lights keep traveling around America, whether she's there or not.
I know. So I saw them pass through an audience once in front of the stage.
Yep. Okay, well, we've got a couple more callers. I hope are you okay?
Yeah, I have a few more minutes, and then my ear is about to fall off.
Okay. All right, we're going to take a couple more callers, and then we're going to play a little chasm music, and we'll be out. But right now, we're going to go to area code 978. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Chasm.
Yes.
I had a quick question about the Anka guitar that you guys used in the Raw Tour.
Yes.
I was just reading a little bit about the guy that built them, and that they were the last three guitars that he made,
mm-hmm.
That Todd designed and so forth. And I was just wondering, any stories about that guitar? Did you enjoy playing it? Was there anything you'd like to tell us about that particular guitar?
Well, the difference between the guitar and the bass were night and day. The guitar was extremely playable. The way the guitar was built, it was it had enough of a body outline to it that it didn't feel totally foreign. Unfortunately, because the bass was the obverse of the guitar, which meant that the guitar body was the bass headstock,
mm-hmm.
and the guitar headstock was the bass body, it made the body of the bass guitar extremely small and sort of not so much cumbersome, but just awkward to hold.
It wasn't balanced very well, or something, right?
Yeah. So that when in order to achieve a bass guitar, he couldn't make the neck out of aluminum because it would have been just too heavy. So he made the neck out of wood, and the headstock out of aluminum. So the minute you put the bass guitar on, the neck and the headstock of the guitar just fell right to the floor. So we tried to counter that by putting a lead weight in the body, which all it did was make the guitar extremely heavy, like between 10 and 15 pounds.
Wow.
And, I mean, if you have even an 8-pound guitar strapped to your, you know, shoulder for more than a half an hour or 45 minutes, it becomes like it's just a huge weight.
I remember you used to switch up. I don't think you usually played it the entire show, did you?
No, because it was really kind of, it was almost unplayable,
yeah.
Unfortunately. It would have been nice had it been a bit more playable, and maybe even if we had just given it a little bit more forethought and made the bass guitar exactly like the guitar in terms of body style. But Todd, you know, envisioned it one way, and when it was put into practice, it just didn't work.
Was the bass destroyed in the fire too?
Yes, the bass was destroyed in the fire, unfortunately.
All right, I was just wondering about that. I was just reading his story, and it was kind of interesting. So I was just
Volano.
What you thought of the guitar?
Yeah, was it Jeff Volano in Florida?
John.
John Volano.
Yeah, I guess his son went on to make some more guitars for a short while with some of the parts that he had left. I think he assembled like another 10 or 12.
Yeah.
But the last ones that John, I guess, made were the three that Todd had hired him to do.
The two Unk guitars and the bass.
Yeah.
Yeah, well. Oh, well.
All right. Well, thanks
Stuff
for answering.
Happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
Oh, sure, man. I hope I answered your question.
You did. Thanks.
Thank you.
Great. We'll see you in Stamford.
All right. Well, say hi, please.
All right. Thanks.
Okay.
Cool. Thank you for calling. That was a good question.
Okay.
Okay,
got one more from you, Mel.
You got more. Of course
okay.
you do. You're always so popular. I've got two more that have their hands raised. Can you take two more questions?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's start with area code 816.
Howdy.
Howdy.
Just got a funny story about the Liars tour when you played Kansas City, Missouri.
Uh-huh.
We were in the front row, me and my beautiful niece, and then my brother and his girlfriend behind.
Uh-huh.
And my niece was eating French fries.
Uh-huh.
and you mooched fries from her.
I did.
On the Liars tour.
And it's time for you to collect on that, right?
No, she was definitely, you know, really beautiful 19-year-old girl. So anyway.
That's really cool. Well, tell her I said thanks for the fries.
Yeah, it was just like she was eating fries, and you were like, hey.
oddly enough, fries from the stage, from the front row. I'm serious. I vaguely remember that.
Really, really thin blonde.
All I remember is the French fry, or taking French fries from a fan, and you know, not thinking that they would be laced with LSD or something like that, and I was going to be tripping for the rest of my life.
No, that was in the ketchup.
Right. Oh, okay. There you go. That's right. I forgot.
So anyway, well, thanks. That was an amazing, amazing show. By the way, what was your favorite Utopia tour?
My favorite Utopia tour, probably the Adventures Oops Wrong Planet tour, because we got to do the
right.
two records.
Right.
There was a huge stage set, and we did a costume change, and we did the first 45 minutes of the show in Oops Wrong Planet garb, and then we came out the second half for Adventures stuff. And that was, we covered a lot of ground on that tour, and
yeah.
we were our own opening act.
I remember it was an amazing, amazing show.
Yeah, the Face the Music tour was pretty cool too, because we played New York City and we did this club that I think it's called the Hammersmith Odeon now.
Right.
But it was the Ritz back then, and we had our guitars brought up to the hotel. Todd and I and Willie and Roger were in a limousine, pulled up in front of the Ritz, and you know, it was a sold out crowd at the Ritz, probably about maybe 2,000, 2,500 people. And we waded through the crowds and got on stage through the crowd.
Wow.
Which was like, you know, it was like supposed to be like the Beatles or something like that. Go figure.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, thank you.
Oh, thank you very much, and I appreciate you calling in.
No problem. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Hey, thank you. That was good.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'm going to take one more caller, and then we'll wrap it up. I've got area code 913. Hello?
Good evening. Thanks for taking the call.
Hi.
Hey, just want to say thanks for all of the incredible years of music. It's always been so much fun to see, you know, various stagings and things going on each time that you all come through, and we're just really jazzed about coming to Akron and seeing the show.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be a trip, that's for sure.
And if I could thank you for just one more thing, and I
sure.
started gushing so much, but when we drove through the country to get to Philly for New Year's Eve, and I'm just babbling away to my lady friend and saying, with any luck, we're gonna see Kazem play Love Alone at this wedding. And she just didn't, you know, have any idea what she was in for. She turned to me and she said, "My gosh, that was worth the trip. Thank you so much for doing that."
Are you saying that I played it at a wedding?
You did, Kazem.
I did. Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. Yes. Oh my God. You see what drugs do to you? Do you see now why children should not do drugs? Anyway, I thought for some reason you were talking about Richfield Coliseum in Cleveland in 1978 or something like that.
And you were there.
I was there.
There you be.
Yeah.
Well, just
anyway,
thanks for
I apologize
all the
for the miscommunication, but
No.
That was a fun show that New Year's Eve.
We're looking forward to your solo set and everything else, and just thanks for the hard work. I know it's a joy to your life that you get to play, but the pleasure that we have is seeing a new stage, you know, and a new set, and catching music that you haven't caught before, or old tunes that get brought up again. It's just really been a lot of fun.
Yeah,
Thanks so much. It's
going to be great, and you're more than welcome.
All right.
So you're going to be in Akron. Are you going to be
Absolutely. This is Corky Mel.
Oh, hey, Corky. Okay.
Hey, look forward to seeing you all there, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Take care, man.
So long now.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Groovy. Yeah, that was so special when you played that for Jody and Rich and Rich.
Yeah, yes, yeah. That was a trip.
Oh, we're getting some feedback. Okay. All right. I had to hang up on Corky, but all right. Do you want to take one more call? Or
sure, one more, and then I'm gonna bid my fair adieu.
Okay, everybody. I've got 847 here, and then all the rest of you guys can call in and listen, but that's the last call for Kaz, and we don't want to wear him out. He's got to do his homework for him. So 847, you are the last caller. Hello.
Hi, I feel lucky. Well, hi, Kaz. This is Lida from Chicago.
Hi.
Well, I'm really glad that you're going to play the Park West two nights in a row. That'll be great.
Yeah, that should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a great venue, and maybe you can just, like, set up once and leave it until Sunday.
I'm sure that's what's going to happen.
Good, good. Well, I guess my question is, you said TR is one of your heroes, which is very nice. Who would you say are your other heroes?
My other heroes? I don't know if I used the word hero. Did I?
I thought so.
Yeah, I don't know. We'd have to go back and check the tape. I might have said he's a big hero of mine. It's probably, you're probably right. Who are my other heroes? My dad, I guess. My sister. God, I don't know. My daughter. My oldest daughter, who just got married. Who else?
Did you play at her wedding?
No, there was no one at her wedding. She eloped.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
No, thank you. Who else? God, Jerzy Kaczynski.
Right.
You know who Jerzy Kaczynski is, correct?
No.
No.
Oh, he's an amazing writer who's passed away. But he's written some. The Painted Bird was one of the best books I've ever written. I mean, I've ever read. I didn't write it, but one of the best books I've ever read.
The Painted Bird.
Yeah, The Painted Bird. It's a great book. And it's actually supposedly a true story. It was supposedly his life. Musical heroes, I don't have very many. Liszt, Chopin, maybe some Wagner, Mozart for sure. Recently, I would have to say I really think that Michael Jackson was a real talent.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I'm babbling now. You're making me babble.
You haven't babbled
Prince,
yet.
I love Prince. Prince is great. I
me
think
too.
Prince is so cool. And there are a bunch of others. You know, I'd rather not say the obvious people. John Lennon was a big hero of mine. And in his later life, George was too, George Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's so many people that make so much good music, you know.
Well, you covered the family, and that's most important. And so you've said a lot of good names, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's much better than just saying, you know, your family. I mean, you've mentioned some of the things that have influenced you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I'll let you say goodnight with your listeners and your online people participating and being very funny, you might want to know.
And also, this was a very, very good way to end the interview with a phone call like this about who are my heroes and me coming up with some, you know, more than mundane answers.
They were great.
Yeah. Thank you.
That was
You're
good.
Welcome.
That was good. Thanks so much. That was a good question. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Okay. She, or you mentioned Prince. And,
yes.
And I've always heard that Prince was a big Todd fan. Were you ever around? Did Prince ever sneak backstage? And
Do you want to hear the funniest story, and then I'm going to go, okay?
Okay.
I was doing my first solo record, and I had... It was a pretty crazy time in the music business. Not a lot of people had, not a lot of record labels had a lot of money, and I was lucky enough to be signed to EMI, and they had Kenny Rogers and Kim Carnes and a few other people that kept the lights on there. Kenny Rogers was selling like 5-7 million records at a clip. Kim Carnes had Betty Davis Eyes and a bunch of other really successful records. So they had money, and they flew me out to Los Angeles because I was going to record my record in L.A., and I was staying at the Sunset Marquee, and along with my drummer. It was me and my drummer who went out there together, the guy that I had known from Staten Island for 15 years before that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're staying at the Sunset Marquee, and one night we decided that, you know, we wanted to go down to the local 7-Eleven, which is on Holloway and La Cienega, and just grab a snack or something, a bag of chips or some pretzels and a soda or something. And we walk in there, and there's Prince. And when I tell you, this guy was about 3.5 feet tall and full of pimples and greasy hair, we had just about 6 months before that played with him on Saturday Night Live when I did Saturday Night Live with Todd, and we did two songs. It was when they used to have two bands on Saturday Night Live, not just one. So Prince played that night, and so did we, but I didn't get a chance to say hello to him. It was just really early on in his career. So when I saw him at the 7-Eleven, I went up to him, and he had in his arms about four bags of Ring Dings, three Ho-Hos, what are those,
Snowballs.
Snowballs, about nine packs of Snowballs, and a case of Coke. And he was checking out, and I went up to him, and I said, "Hey, excuse me, my name is Cassim Sultan. I play with Todd Rundgren. We just did Saturday Night Live a few months back together, and I just wanted to tell you, I think you're great." And he looked at me, and he said, "Uh-huh, thank you." And he was kind of like, not mean, not nasty, but just a little arrogant. And I thought, you little shit. How dare you be like that? I'm here I am, fellow musician. I'm paying you a compliment, and that's all you give me? It's like, yeah, thanks. Now, go away. Let me eat my ho-hos and Ring Dings. So when we got back, he was staying at the Sunset Marquee along with us, with me and Mark. And we found out what room he was staying in. And, Prince is like, that's when I was growing up, that was like if you had a German Shepherd, you named the German Shepherd, and it happened to be a male German Shepherd, you called him Prince. If it was a female German Shepherd, you called it Princess. It was a very common name for a dog. So what Mark and I did was we took a sheet of paper, drew the head of a German Shepherd on it, and put Prince on the bottom of it and pinned it to his door. Now, if he ever saw it, I really don't know, and I'm sure if anybody's listening and that has a line to Prince, you can personally tell him I apologize right now for that little outburst of chicanery, but we thought it was a hoot back then.
Well, if we ever get Prince on this show, we will ask him about the dog head picture.
Yeah, ask him about the German Shepherd picture with Prince, signed underneath of it.
Well, we'll call you and let you know so you can go hide.
Okay, good. Yeah, he'll have one of his thugs come and get me.
Yeah.
Yeah. He won't get his hands dirty.
Exactly. Okay, all right. I just clicked over to the chat room and people are asking me if I saw Florence's message, so I'm backing up. Florence could not call in because she's over in Europe, in France, but she wanted to say hello to you.
Well, would you please tell Florence I send my best and my love, and I hope to see her at the beginning of next year.
At one of those shows. Florence needs to go to either London or Amsterdam right now. Unless more get
and hopefully
added.
they'll put some more shows in.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, Cassim. Well, we will let you go. We've only got 10 minutes left, so we want to play a little bit of your music, including Summer's Gone, your newest song that you've put up online. And go do your homework. I will,
and I'll see everybody real, real soon. And don't forget, pajama party, morning of the 6th in the ballroom of the hotel, $10. Can't lose.
Hey, Cassim.
Yeah.
Prince calls us wanting comp tickets to AWOTS, we'll tell him to shove it.
Oh, yeah, thank you, man.
Yeah, no problem. We got you back.
All right, Doug. I'll see you soon.
All right good man. Night, Cassim.
Thank you. Thank you, Mel, and thank you, Doug. You guys are the best, and I love you very much.
Same to you, brother.
Okay.
Have a good one. Looking
Bye-bye.
Forward to it.
Bye.
All right.